after you've been retired for a while and then get invited to preach, it's like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do this. And then you think, wow, now's my opportunity to say all the things I never had the chance to say before. But that would take a long time. But it is so tempting and so difficult to kind of narrow it down to 10 minutes or so, maybe. So, if I ask you what song came to mind, when you read this morning's quote, or the title for my sermon, and if you're one of the few people I told already, let the others speak first, okay? I told a few people what theme I was going to use, what song. But looking at the title, Imagination, looking at the quote, my imagination often runs away with me and then comes back drenched with possibilities. So, thinking about imagination, thinking about the songs that you remember or know about imagination, what's some of the first songs that come to mind? I'm sorry? John Lennon's Imagination, right? Now, you're from my era, yeah. Now, come on, some of you are older than I am. Frank Sinatra, Imagination. No? Wow, I guess I guessed wrong. Okay. So, the first song, well, one of the first songs about imagination, long before John Lennon, was a song written by Steve Van Heusen called Imagination. Frank Sinatra sang it, and I was sure somebody would remember it. Imagination is funny. It makes a cloudy day sunny, makes a bee think of honey, just as I think of you. Imagination is crazy. Your whole perspective gets hazy, starts you asking a daisy what to do, what to do. Have you ever felt a gentle touch and then a kiss and then find it's only your imagination all over again? Oh well. Imagination is silly. You go around willy-nilly. For example, I go around wanting you, and yet I can't imagine that you want me to. First song about imagination. Now, the next song, of course, is the one you all mentioned right away. John Lennon's song, Imagination, and actually, by the way, it wasn't only John Lennon who wrote that song, it was with his wife Yoko, who doesn't get a whole lot of credit for that. They wrote it during the 60s when the world was in utter turmoil. Vietnam, memories of World War II, and in their opinion, religion not doing a whole lot to make it any better. Religion, basically, as it did in World War II, basically keeping more concerned about keeping itself alive and their churches going, that they didn't really challenge the evil all around them. And so, John Lennon and his wife, Yoko Ono, wrote Imagine. I was going to project it for you, but that didn't, I tried it out a few times, and I don't think it would have worked very well here in the church. I was going to sing it for you, but those of you who know me know that would be a disaster. So, here, unless somebody else wants to jump up and sing it, here are the words. Nobody, okay. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer. But I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine. Just imagine. I was having a FaceTime with our son, Sam, who is living with his family in Switzerland. And I always kind of try out some of my ideas with my kids, whether they liked it or not. And sometimes they didn't, and sometimes they did. So I said to Sam, oh, by the way, Sam, I'm going to be preaching on Sunday. And my theme is going to be John and Yoko Ono's song, Imagine. What do you think Sam said? He looks at me and he says, and this is, of course, you know, the magic of our technology. He's in Switzerland, I'm over here, and he looks at me in the camera and he says, so, you're going to use a song that says, imagine there's no religion, and you're going to be preaching that in a Christian church. And he got me to thinking a little bit about that. And conversations I had with Sue and conversations I've had with myself all last night when I was sleeping and this morning made me realize that what I was going to do just wasn't right. John Lennon and Yoko Ono were using their imagination based on what they saw going around them and condemning all religion for not doing something about it, for being more concerned about themselves and about the world in which they were living and what was happening, and challenging that. And in a way, they were right. A lot of churches and a lot of religions were doing just that, nothing. But to condemn all religions, all churches, was wrong. Just as it's wrong today for our president to be condemning Islam and Muslims for what a few radicals are doing, which is absolutely horrendous. Hardly anybody disagrees with that. So, what do we do about all of that? And I think what we do is what John Lennon was encouraging us to do. I think what we do is what Jesus was attempting to tell us to do. I think what we do is what Jacob was doing. And I know I may be stretching this a little bit, but think about the people who we think the most about. Think about the people that today we call our heroes. And who were they? They were people who dared to dream. They were people who used their imagination to think about how to make things better for themselves, for their families, for their children, and yes, sometimes even for the whole world. Right? People who use their imagination and dared to believe that their imagination, their dreams, maybe might come true. Even some churches, like our own, has done that. We're not perfect, and we've made a lot of mistakes, as has many churches, and by the way, many preachers. But we've also done a whole lot of good. So, to say the world would be better off without religion, maybe someday, when, you know, we all come together. John Moore has been talking about churches right here in Pittsfield coming together. Maybe someday when we're able to put aside all our differences and become, as John and Yoko Ono say, one, we won't need religion or churches anymore. But we're not there yet, not by a long shot. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, my friend Ed Deaton, reminded me when I was taught, I always talk to Ed when I'm going to preach because he's such an incredible preacher. He said, I was talking to him about John Lennon's song. He said, well, remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer? And of course, I wanted to say, yeah, I remember Dietrich, but I didn't. I mean, I know the name. He said, well, when he was in prison in World War II, he made some very controversial statements, and one of those was that what the world needed was a religionless Christianity. What the world needed was a religionless Christianity. Why did he say that? Because in Germany and in many other countries, the Catholic Church at the time, the dominant church, was doing nothing to challenge Hitler. Nothing. Other than trying to keep themselves alive, with some exceptions. So Dietrich said, what the world needs now is a religionless Christianity. And there's some argument to be made for the fact that Christianity might do a whole lot better without religion. Because what is religion but a group of people who come together as they did around Jesus, who had wanted nothing to do with it, and all of a sudden started setting up a whole bunch of rules and regulations about how you can be a Christian, or how you can be a Muslim, or how you can be a Jew. And all of a sudden, those rules and regulations began to pit ourselves against one another. But we're not there yet. And as flawed as we may be, as flawed as Jacob was, by the way, we need to use our imagination as Jacob did. We need to listen to our dreams, whatever they might be, how crazy they might seem, and how crazy people might call us by sharing those dreams and visions with us, so that we can someday make this world of ours a better place for everyone. And there's all kinds of ways to do that, but I want to, there's so many things, other things I wanted to say, but I want to, if I can find it, yeah. And I always look for excuses to promote this incredible friend of mine, Ed. Some of you know Ed because I've shared his CDs with you. He's an incredible preacher, musician, and his CDs talk about religion in a very interesting way. But one of the ones I was hoping we'd sing in church one of these days on his CD is called The Power to Give. The Power to Give. And again, Ed would have come to be with me this morning, but his daughter and her husband and grandson are with them from Sweden, so that take precedent, and it should. So I can't sing the song, but it goes something, well, here's the words. Jerry, and this song is about actual people that he knew in the churches that he served. Jerry was a juggler of numbers and of facts. In daytime, he would show the folks just how to pay their tax. But evenings were his own, and he would tutor in a school and teach the kid to read and write that everybody called a fool. I want to thank you, Lord, for giving him the power to give. I want to thank you, Lord, for giving him the power to give. And by the way, we could substitute, instead of Lord, the church, maybe? Dottie worked for 40 years down at the corner store, and now she sits at home, retired. But she wanted something more, so every day at just past 9, she sits beside the phone to check on all the older folks who live alone at home. We mostly have enough, but then we're always wanting more. But when we give ourselves away, we find what living's for. When Jesus in the wilderness had drawn a hungry crowd, he gave them food for spirit, but wondered right out loud, who will feed their bodies, their full nurture? That's my wish. A boy stepped forward, holding up some bread and two dried fish. 5,000 thanked the Lord for giving him the power to give. 5,000 thanked the Lord for giving him the power to give. Now Jill sells Subway tokens and her husband sweeps the street. And every month they write a check so Haitian kids can eat. And when disaster strikes, there's always Mike to lead a hand. And when somebody's pushed around, watch Kathy take her stand. I want to thank you for giving them the power to give. I want to thank you. I want to thank this church for giving so many people here the power to give. One of these days, I'm going to rewrite that song and put in the names of some of you. And you know who they are. People who used their imagination, who went to the church council, who went to the pastor and said, I have a dream, I have an imagination. I can imagine what this church could be. I can imagine what this church could do. And sometimes the council said, you've got to be crazy. We can't do that. We don't have the money. And what would people say if we let all those alcoholics in here to have their meeting, or the drug addicts that you want to bring in here? What would people say? I mean, if we spend all our money to put in a walk-in cooler and a freezer so that we could have the food we need to feed the 500 families that come into this church every week. But Mary had a dream and an imagination that she wouldn't give up, and now we're doing it. And you mean you want to give away free books to those kids who come in here with their parents? Where are we going to get the books from? But Sandy Smith and Letitia and all those people who help her, they're all down there now, and we get more and more books all the time. And the children love going over to, the first thing they go to see what books are new. Just because Sandy had a dream. And St. Joe's Kitchen, you mean the Catholic Church is giving it up? How on earth can we take that on? Our kitchen is nothing like theirs. And John Moore said, oh yeah, we can do it. We can do it. And for 25 years, John did it, supervised that all by himself. Now it takes four of us to fill his shoes. And we're not filling his shoes. And by the way, John, we're down to one now. Me. So by the way, if any of you are out there who would like to be what we call a maitre d' supervising St. Joe's Kitchen, see me after church. We need you. That's why, at least right now, we still need Christianity. We still need people willing to live the way Jesus taught us we ought to live. Maybe not religion with all its rules and regulations, but maybe we still do a little bit. So that we can support people like John and Mary and Sandy and Nancy, who people said a secondhand store in the church. Where on earth are you going to put that? Or Ann Roach, you know, our Sunday school was down to hardly, what, four or five children? And people, you know, shrug and say, well, what's the use? And Ann wouldn't give up because she had a dream and an imagination that even if there was one kid coming, it was worth keeping that church school alive. And now look at it and what they're doing. So that's where I ended up after a conversation with Ed, a conversation with some of my absolutely favorite people, my son Sam and my wife Sue, and all the other stuff running around in my head about what to do and not to do and what to say and what not to say. Saying that, yeah, one of these days, John and Yoko's dream may come true, but until then, boy, do we ever need churches like this and people like you. Amen.